He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loved me so. Why feel the garden's dreadful dross? Why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loved me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loved me so. The next song is number 72, Come Let Us All Unite to Sing. Come let us all unite to sing God his love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. How happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way, our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love.
Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time that we can gather together as your church to come together to sing songs of praise, to gather on your Son's table to worship you, Father, we pray, in spirit and truth. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've given us that we can be here. And we're mindful of those that are sick and can't be here, Father. We pray, Father, that you'll help them in such a way that they can regain their normal walks of life, that they can be up and about your business and be back at the next appointed time. We pray a special prayer for Adam's family, for Michael Mills. Father, we ask you to watch over them and care for them. We pray for the doctors attending to them. Father, we can only pray that you'll bless them in such a way that they can regain their normal walks in this life. For those that are shut in, Father, we pray that you'll comfort them this day. Thank you so much for all the blessings you give us in our daily lives, for the physical things that we have. We realize, Father, our blessings come from you. Thank you for the spiritual blessings that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're grateful for him, Father, for coming into a world and teaching us the things that you have us to know, and to be a sacrifice and die on that cross for our sins. Help us, Father, to always strive to be more like him every day in our lives. Thank you for the church, wherever it meets throughout the world this day. We pray, Father, that many souls can be saved through the efforts. Father, we pray for their safety in places where homes sure to come to them if they are not careful. Bless this congregation, Father, help us to grow in number. Help us to grow spiritually, and we pray, Father, that your work can be done here in this community. Thank you for Brother Robert and Sister Jane as they work here, and we pray that their efforts will be great and they'll be blessed, and Father, that you'll be glorified from their work. Thank you for allowing us to live in a nation of freedom and bounty that it has. We pray, Father, that our leaders will look unto you for guidance. We pray, Father, that this nation will once again become Christian nation that it used to be. Father, we pray for the men and women that protect us from harm. We pray for the military, wherever they may be, Father, and we ask you to keep them from harm, and we pray for their families. Again, Father, we are grateful that we can be called your sons and daughters. And that we can live a life, Father, that we pray will be a shining light that others will see you through us and will want to come apart of your church. But even in our daily lives, Father, we realize that we sometimes sin, that we fall short of your glory. And we pray, Father, that you strengthen us in our weakness, that you forgive us of our sins, and Father, that we can carry on as your children. Day by day. Thank you so much again for caring for us like you do. Father, we pray that you'll always love us and that we'll love you, and that we will serve you here on this earth as you've had us to do. Watch over us, Father. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Will you turn now to our song in preparation for the Lord's Supper, and our scripture reading will be done following this song. Is that okay with you? All right. Number 52. We'll sing the first and second verses of this song, not the third verse, but first and second verse of this song applies to our service today. Thank you. A relative of mine way back when, the 1500s, George Rawson, wrote this song. And it's been used in a number of hymnals throughout the years. And it is a wonderful song for the Lord's Supper idea, and it's really made a hit with him and with all of us. 52, verses 1 and 2. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread. And as we drink, we see the blood until He come.
The reading this morning is from Mark 14, 22 through 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took the bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it. And He gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they drank of it. And He said unto them, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine, until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
If you would, in your songbook, mark, please, number 226 as a song of invitation this morning, following Brother Larry's presentation. 226. Is thy heart right with God? And turn with me to number 43 as a song, first and third verses, please. Number 43. Are present with us this morning on this particular day of January the 13th, 2019. And it's a privilege to have this day come about as an official opening. We never close. It's a misnomer to say that we are doing an opening, but official opening is what we advertise so that we'll have others that know that we're still doing things and still going on and still training and still working with people. And as a result, they contact us more frequently as this month progresses along after they see official opening. Well, it's still going on, so I'll be a part of it at that time. We're glad of that. Number 43, first and third verses. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Brother Larry Eric is working, as I said, as representative of Fried Hardeman University. And along the way, he'll mention to us a few things that's going on there, no doubt, but also they've emphasized the importance of education in general, biblical education for the teaching of the gospel of Christ. He lives in Collierville, Tennessee, travels in this particular area. I'm glad to have met him and talked with him and visited with him a little bit. And I think he could tell by the way he said of my smile of talking about Crockett that I enjoy being here. And we do enjoy being here. Brother Larry, if you'd come up now and begin the presentation. If you don't let them out by 11:30, they will remember it.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's glad to see everyone here today, and what a blessing it is for me to be here. I enjoyed our Sunday school class. The presentation that EJ made was just simple, to the point, and I can see why everybody loves to hear him when they have the opportunity. And I pray the Lord, EJ, that will continue to bless you in your work. I met Robert Rawson for the first time in November of this last year. We had lunch at a restaurant here in Senatobia. I had breakfast, and Robert had chili. So it's kind of a strange combination. But it was not an awkward visit. It was more like having lunch with a longtime friend. And if you know Robert, you understand what I'm talking about. He is a man after God's own heart. You don't sit and talk with Robert long without the topic of Christian education being raised. He has a passion for it. You might say he walks the walk and talks the talk. We both agree that Christian education was a good thing. I've been involved in Christian education for over 20 years, and this is a special day, and I'm honored to be here. I didn't attend Fried Hardeman, and although I worked for Harding University for 20 years, I didn't attend Harding either. People ask, well, why would you work for a school that you didn't go to? And I quickly reply that there are two reasons that I went to work for Fried Hardeman. One was, when I was at Harding, we recruited heavily from Fried Hardeman for students for our school. And the students that we always got from Fried Hardeman were outstanding students. I could almost talk with a student with a few minutes. You went to Fried Hardeman, didn't you? And the second reason that I developed an appreciation for Fried Hardeman was a little over 2 years ago, my wife and I decided to make a change as far as the church that we attended. And we started going to Germantown Church of Christ. We live in Collierville. And the preacher there is Dave Phillips, who is a graduate of Fried Hardeman University. I say this in a good way, but Dave just wears us out with Bible. I mean, that's a good thing. And we enjoy being there. So those two things combined developed a real appreciation for me for Fried Hardeman and a further appreciation for Christian education. So when I had the opportunity to become a part of that, I took it. I'm in the advancement office there, and I help raise funds for students who otherwise might not be able to afford a Christian education. You know, I'd like to give $5 million to Fried Hardeman, but obviously I can't. But I can help raise $5 million. So I'm excited about being there. One of the biggest blessings about my job is I come in contact with people like Robert Rawson. And then that happens every day. Every day I talk to somebody new. And I have just a great appreciation for people that support Christian education. Oftentimes when you think of Christian education, you think of training preachers. And that is part of it, and that's very important. But that's not all that Christian education is about. If we were to look at the mission statements of the Christian colleges and universities, we would notice that most of the statements talk about training and equipping leaders for ministry in the church. They'll say that in one way or another. Sure, a percentage of students are preparing for work in the church as a pulpit minister or a youth minister. A new addition to the church staff is an administrative minister. But there are others in school who will be doctors, lawyers, engineers, accountants, school teachers, physical therapists, and many, many more. They will receive the training for their profession, but at the same time, they will be adding to their own spiritual growth. I don't know if you have noticed that the world is a mess. We need Christian leaders. I've been in church all my life. I can't remember on any Sunday during my early years that the question, "Are we going to church?" was ever asked. My dad deserted our family when I was 5. My sister was 3, and my brother was 8. Mom knew for her 3 kids to have the best mentors would be at church. She was right. My brother, sister, and I had great teachers and mentors. Most all of these teachers were self-taught. We were a small church of less than 300. During those years, there were very few who had advanced degrees. Most of those were in the medical field. A few number in education, and even a fewer number in business. The least amount was religion. In fact, most felt that it was not necessary for a minister to have an advanced degree during those years. I was in my late 20s when I was asked to be on a teaching team for our junior high kids at church. The Harding University Graduate School of Bible and Religion had been established, and some of the students attended our church. 2 of these students, Kent and Mike, were asked to join a teaching team with me for the junior high kids. My first thought was that I could do that, I could hold my own with these 2 guys. Well, I've been in church all of my life, and these 2 young boys look young to me. I think it was after the first week that Mike led the class and followed by Kent the next week that I realized that I would not measure up to these men. They were articulate and were grounded in Scripture. It was a joy to be in the class the Sundays that each of them taught. Both men now have over 50 successful years in church ministry. Why did they do so well? Because of their training and their dedication. I've been in Christian education long enough to witness a student visiting a school to choose for enrollment and then enrolling. After a few years graduating and then serving wherever the Lord led them for 10 or 20 years. I think that's what really makes my job worthwhile. I can see the results, the fruits of our work. Again, some of these students wouldn't have been able to afford graduate school without financial support. So it's a blessing to see that work lived out. There's a young man at our church, about 24 years old, and I'll call him John. My wife and I had only been at this church for about 2 years, and we're still learning the names of the people. John would lead singing on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and also would do the Devo on Wednesday night. I was very impressed with the content of his material and his communication skills. My first thought was that he must be in ministry. I learned later that he did graduate from Fried Hardeman. Aha, I was right. Partially. John was not a Bible major. He majored in graphic design. Someone had asked me the question about the Bible course's requirements for non-Bible majors, and I really didn't know the answer to that. So I thought, well, I'll invite John to lunch and ask him about Bible requirements at Fried Hardeman for non-Bible majors. John told me that every student, regardless of their major, takes a Bible course every semester. John further said that when he had opportunity to take an elective, a course outside of his major, he always took a Bible course because they were so good and the professors were outstanding. Talk about Christian education. John maxed it out. He took every opportunity to learn about God's Word. And he was very, very, very good at leading singing and doing those devos. Who can benefit from Christian schools, even though they do not plan to go into ministry full time? Well, we all can. Whether we're elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, church staff, or members who want to increase their own spiritual growth. Brother Robert gave us several opportunities in his announcements today of seminars and items on the internet, publications. There's just a world of information out there now for those that aren't preachers, but they are useful in spreading the gospel in other ways. Any of these opportunities that you can partake of will increase your spiritual growth. Some Christian schools offer audit classes. What is an audit class? An audit class costs In the first place, it costs a lot less than a regular class. Some are as low as $50 compared to a student in that same class might be paying $1,500 or $1,800. Y'all are pretty close to Memphis. Harding School of Theology offers audit classes. Harding University in Searcy offers those classes. And the Memphis School of Preaching probably has audit classes. So there are a lot of opportunities around for individuals to take classes just for their own spiritual growth. In Acts 1, verse 8, is the last statement or last command given by Christ before his ascension, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and all Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is similar to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus tells his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission was not just for the immediate disciples that he was speaking to, but it is given to all believers. Today, the Great Commission is still being fulfilled by missionary work, by local churches in actively seeking the lost in their community, in outreach activities, and by believers telling the story of Jesus Christ, even to their next door neighbor. The Great Commission will not end until Jesus returns. That command will stay with us. That is, during the church age today, all believers are commanded to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to go into all the world, even if it starts next door. We enjoyed taking the Lord's Supper a few minutes ago, and one of our responsibilities as a part of that Lord's Supper is to proclaim again the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. It's really a gift from God. The Lord's Supper is a gift from God that represents that great gift that Jesus made for us. We should think about that all the time, especially when we're taking the Lord's Supper. There might be somebody here today who's been thinking about becoming a Christian. It may be you've noticed the way somebody is living their life and you're impressed with that, and because their language is good, you know they're at church often, and they're in throughout the week, Monday through Friday, they're just the same as they are on Sunday, and they're just people that are special to you, and maybe a mentor, but it's somebody that you've looked up to and thought, you know, I'd like to live like that person's living. And maybe after reading in your Bible about becoming a Christian, maybe you've done that even, but you've heard the word, you believed what it said, you're ready to confess that you are a sinner and that you want to repent of those sins and be baptized. At every service here, I'm sure that invitation is offered to you, and we offer that to you today. I again appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I mentioned my mom earlier that when my dad deserted us, and it was important for her, for us to be in church all the time. And we never asked that question, are we going to church today? Fortunately, I married a woman who was raised the same way. So in our 52 years of marriage, I don't think we've ever asked that question, are we going to church today? That's just part of our life. But as mom got older and started to have signs of dementia, she started asking the same question every day. That's sort of the way people are that have dementia. They repeat the same thing over and over. She would ask, are we going to church today? No, Mom, it's Tuesday. Well, are we going to church today? No, Mom, it's Thursday. Mom passed away a few years ago, and I'm sure Mom has gone to heaven. Have no doubt about it. And if they keep up with days in heaven, and I'm sure they do, because in the beginning we have a record of what happened on each day. If they keep up with days in heaven, and if she were to ask somebody while she's there, are we going to church today? The answer is going to be, well, it's Tuesday, and yes, we're going to church. Or, are we going to church today? Well, yeah, it's Thursday, but we're going to church today. What a blessing, reward we have waiting for us that become Christians and remain faithful throughout our lives. We want each one person that we know and people that we don't know to have that blessing. So this morning, if you want to become a child of God, be able to have hope for forgiveness of sins and hope for eternal life, we pray that you'll make that decision this morning as we stand and sing.
Cleanse and make holy, humble and
service tonight at 6, where I'll be speaking this evening. And in the morning at 10, where we'll have our DVD of the presentation from 2004. And we also have Ben McCree to be visiting with us tomorrow at 10:30. 11:30, come and meet and eat lunch with us. We're inviting these folks to go and eat with us today. Otherwise, one of the places where you can eat breakfast, or you can eat chili as well at any time. And you're invited to come and be with us today. If you wish to do that at lunch, we'll be meeting there with EJ and with Claire. God bless you all for being here today. J.H. will close us in prayer this morning. Anything else we need to announce? This is done. Oh, yes, that's it. That's important.
Go ahead and dismiss.
Dismiss us in prayer. We're going to be seated for a moment. We have a very important announcement that all of us here at Crockett will want to know about.
Dear Father, thank you so much for allowing us to gather here together as your people in worship. And worship you. And Father, we pray that our worship here this morning was acceptable unto thee. Father, we're thankful that Brother Larry and Brother EJ were able to be with us today. We're thankful for the words that they spoke to us. And Father, we ask your continued blessings be upon them. Father, we pray for those that were mentioned this morning as sick and those that are hurting. Father, we pray for those that are grieving at this time as well. Father, we pray that you would dismiss us in thy care and bring us back this evening for worship once again. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. And Larry, if you and EJ would go to the back at this time and be there ready for when we... This is a very brief time, but it's important for us all to hear Christ. Very brief.
This is a deed that I received in the mail that we've been working on for about 6 months. And this deed is for an acre of land to be added to our cemetery, donated by Mrs. West, 3 sons and a daughter, I believe, maybe 2 sons and a daughter. But she said that she and Mr. West had talked about this for a long time, as they would like to donate. And as a matter of fact, at one time he even considered wanting to be buried with us here. But things have changed. Leanne Darby Sinkfield did all of the work. It cost us nothing to get this done. The only thing that it cost us was to get the surveying done, and it's already been done. So we do have an extra acre and a lot of wood to burn. Yes. And just want to let you know, we will be sending Mrs. West an official thank you and also to Leanne. And just want to let you know.
Correct. Thank you. And thank you all for being part of this.
Our